Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church this fourth Sunday after Pentecost. I'm glad to see all of you here today. It's going to be a scorcher this week. So if you have air conditioning, please try to stay indoors. Head to a mall. You can even come here to the church and just hang out with me if you would like. But I would like you to please take care of yourself, load up on water, just make sure you're taking care. You've probably noticed an insert in your bulletin today. This is the information about what's coming up in the General Assembly in a couple of weeks. These are the things that commissioners and other folks throughout the nation, Presbyterians throughout the nation, will be voting on and praying about. And so it's just good to know what the national church is up to, and I thought you'd like to know that. And then there will be another bulletin similar to that after GA is over. So that'll be the 7th of July. You should get some information on that. Okay. I did also want to let you know, I let you know last week that I was going to Washington, D.C. Earlier this week, and I just wanted to let you know that I did make contact with Senator Casey and Fetterman's office, as well as Representative DeLuzio, about the farm bill. And the day before that, we folks from Bread for the World all got together, and we talked a little bit more about what our asks were so that we could come with a united front. All of the representatives were quite receptive. They don't want to reduce SNAP funding, and they want to continue supporting U.S. aid. They did say, however, that it's not likely that a farm bill will be passed before November. But it's still important that we got our voices heard. Is there anything else? What else am I missing? Any other announcements I need to? Oh, do we have?
Oh, yes. Not this Saturday. This Saturday after, I think, is the 29th.
Okay.
Afternoon. As always, come when you can. Weeding. I want to try to get the gutters on the CE building cleaned out. There's trees growing out of them.
Fun.
And the playground around the fence needs to be trimmed up.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll have a cleanup day, not this upcoming the 29th from 9 to noon. Bring your gloves, any tools, and we've got some stuff to help make our property beautiful.
If it rains, use your own judgment.
Yeah. If it rains, use your own judgment. And so we hope to see you all there. All right, with that, let us gather our hearts and minds together as we prepare to worship with our call to worship. God takes a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar and plants it on a high mountain in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. God welcomes, God loves, God provides. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
God gathers and prepares us for worship. Let us confess the sins that detract or distract us from God's path. Triune God, we confess that we don't always like the way your power works. We blame you for all that goes wrong in the world, and yet we forget that you empower us to resist evil. We want you to help us in exactly the way we ask, and yet we forget that we are not the authors of our own salvation. We say we desire for your kingdom to come, and yet we forget to listen to your voice, calling us to work for the flourishing of our neighbors. Forgive us, Holy Trinity, and free us to cooperate with you in the work of salvation for ourselves, our community, and all of creation. Amen. Christ has set us free. Claim your forgiveness. Rejoice in God's grace and respond with love. Amen. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Please be seated for our choir's anthem, Father Lead Me Day by Day. lovely tribute on Father's Day. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and for one another. Please pray with me. Eternal God, we are lost without you. Protect us from ourselves, the violence we perpetrate, our idolatrous ways, the destruction we fail to prevent. Our power is nothing compared to yours. Therefore, we seek your guidance through word and worship, and we pray for the Spirit to lead us in the path of righteousness. God of our ancestors who worship golden idols when distraught, help us to heed the warnings of our biblical narrative. We place idols above you and prioritize self-centered concerns over the sacred. We mythologize our nation as a land of the free, refusing to hear your condemnation and critique, and our sorrows multiply when we fail to heed your truth. As we celebrate Juneteenth, we pray that we celebrate the great strides we have made as a church and a country, while also recognizing there is work still to be done. Prince of Peace, our world is broken by violence. Our relationships are severed by grief, and we lament the ways of our world that lead to death. We revel in your path of life. In your presence, we know the fullness of joy. On this Father's Day, we give thanks for the men who embody love, the encouragers, the coaches, mentors, and bleacher-sitting cheerleaders. We honor those who support and provide. We give thanks for the blessing of fathers, fatherhood, and those whose generative lives include fathering others. And we also remember for those for whom such holidays are painful, reminding them of loss or suffering endured. As summer draws near, we pray for those in our churches who are busy preparing for vacation Bible schools and other camp programs at our churches. Discerning God, please be with our Presbytery's General Minister Special Nominating Committee and their candidates as they meet together this week to continue the vital work. Healing God, we ask for your comfort and care of those among us and in our communities that are suffering with illness and disease. We especially pray for Sue Galley's granddaughter, Maddie, who has been quite ill the last 2 weeks with no real answers as to what's going on. I got word on Facebook that Tweety, AJ's daughter, and Suzanne's stepdaughter has been taken to the hospital again. I don't have any other details, but let's keep Tweety in our prayers. And may we also please pray for Alice Tillotson, my aunt, who was diagnosed with signet cell stomach cancer and is beginning treatment tomorrow. Renew us, great God, in this moment of worship so that we can tread your path and labor in your field, so that we can grow your kingdom here on earth. And we pray that you start with us. As the body of Christ, hear us as we pray our Savior's prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn, Father, I Adore You. Please be seated. Paul reminds us that generosity is a fruit of the Spirit, so let us generously share of the gifts that we have been given. Let us present our offerings to God. Most generous God, you have blessed us with these gifts to serve and to share. May these offerings we present today be used to further your kingdom and build your beloved community. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture reading for today is 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 17 out of the New Revised Version. We are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive due recompense for actions done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade people. But we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to your consequences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died, and he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for the one who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer know him in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. This is a reading of God's word.
Please pray with me. Guiding God, prepare our hearts and minds for the hearing of your word. Open us to your truth, humble us to your way. Amen. Cancer has been on my mind quite a bit lately. As I mentioned in the prayers, my aunt was just diagnosed with stomach cancer. And I'll be honest, her prognosis doesn't look great. and this is not my first encounter with cancer, and I doubt it'll be the last, and I don't imagine that there's anyone here that hasn't known at least one person that has or had cancer. Many of you have been directly affected by it. You've gone through the treatments, and you made it. You made it through to remission, and you're living full lives. Like, hallelujah. I mean, there are still those annual or biannual checkups, and those always come with a lot of anxiety. You know, could it come back? Do you have to do more surgery or chemo? And as aggressive as those treatments are, will they be enough? And then there are also several of you here today who've cared for a loved one with cancer or just at the end of their lives. And you've witnessed the toll of chemotherapy. You've made calendars for treatments and alarms for medications. You've cooked special foods, set up hospital beds in your living room, helped with the most basic and intimate of daily tasks. And those moments are worth it, but man, it's hard. Several of my family members and friends have had cancer, and some, like my dad, he's fared quite well. He's living a really normal life. He never needed any chemotherapy or radiation. He had surgery, and now he's still playing drums and piddling in the yard and caring for critters when he's not off working as a nurse. Others, like my friend Mike, fought tooth and nail to the very bitter end. And it's so hard to make any sense out of it. Like, why this person? And why not that really terrible, awful person that nobody likes? And this passage brought up a lot of that kind of stuff for me. I'll let you in on a little secret. Not everything Paul says makes a whole lot of sense to me. And I think he uses about 10 times more words than he needs to. There's a fine line between cherry picking and understanding the surrounding text, but this week, the one verse kept coming back to me was, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." I'm not ignoring everything else. Those verses are still really important, but basically, I'll just real synopsis here is that the issues of life and death and resurrection is basically what he's talking about. He's talking about our physical bodies alongside the reality of Jesus's resurrection. And he's telling us that at the meeting of those two, of our bodies in Jesus's resurrection, God is expressing a whole new creation. And I mentioned last week that Paul's letters to the Corinthians are filled with what seem to be just basically responses to his critics, that Paul didn't have the look of an apostle. He was kind of a sickly fellow, and he was always doing something to get himself locked up. And he's trying to tell the Corinthians, yeah, my outward appearances may not be what you expected, but look a little deeper. Listen to what I'm saying. Watch what I'm doing. There is more here than meets the eye. Paul reminds us that these fleshy bodies that we find ourselves in, these are temporary. We can't see Jesus while we're living here on earth. So we have to walk through life by faith. It's faith, not sight, that enables Paul to recognize God's power, to know that God is working through us, and the afflictions, and God's going to bring about something greater than any of us could ever imagine. And I think you all know, as Paul and those listening did, that we, all of us Christians, we are all in Christ. The harder part to grasp sometimes and to really believe is that Christ is inside each one of us too. And that's how we can walk by faith, because Christ was resurrected. Our resurrection is also guaranteed. And it was that reminder that made me think so fondly of my friend Mike. I met Mike Pitchford when I was living in Albuquerque. And I got word that there was this Roman Catholic guy who was trying to put together a pilgrimage with a bunch of Protestants. And Cubanism being one of my passions, I was curious, so I reached out. In addition to someone with Protestant contacts, Mike also needed some promotional materials. And it just so happened that I was working at a public relations firm at the time. So a partnership was formed, and then a close relationship followed by that. With a ragtag team of four, we successfully guided 28 pilgrims from four different denominations across 45 miles in about 3 days. And that was back in 2017. The next year, the steering committee doubled, and there were 33 pilgrims from six different denominations, and we all really felt the Lord working and the Spirit flowing. We walked together and prayed and shared with one another. Mike and I planned three pilgrimages together. Sometime after that second one, he started to get ill, and it took the doctors what seemed like an eternity to figure out what was wrong with him. And early that summer, he got the diagnosis of stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And to say I was shocked is an understatement. To say that I was angry. This man who was so full of faith and so full of life and love for God's people and God's creation, this is the man that gets incurable cancer? Talking with Mike about our faith and our beliefs, it was a pretty common thing for us in general, and we continued those sorts of conversations after his diagnosis. And, you know, I would ask him, like, aren't you angry? Are you scared? Like, why is God letting this happen to you? And he said, no, I'm not angry. But he understood why I would be. And he said he wasn't really scared, at least not for himself. He was scared about, and not really scared so much as sad about what his passing would mean for his wife and his two sons and his grandsons. But what he knew was that death was not the end for him. Mike got interested in pilgrimages because after he retired from Intel, he started going on the Camino de Santiago, long pilgrimages in Europe, France, Italy, Spain. And Mike talked to me about his experiences on the Camino and how incredibly frustrating his first pilgrimage was. He had planned. He was that kind of guy. He planned and planned and planned. He trained. He mapped. He had a schedule. Everything was supposed perfect. And he knew exactly where he wanted to go, and he knew exactly what he wanted to see, and no one was going to stop him. Except God. Because God had other plans. Mike met unexpected people, and he listened to their stories, and they worshiped, and they prayed together. And ultimately, from that first pilgrimage, Mike learned that he had to walk by putting one foot in front of the other, trusting that a path would be made. Even though Mike had religious convictions before he started pilgriming, he started walking much differently after that first pilgrimage. He now walked by faith. And because of this new way of walking, he couldn't see God, but he could sense God's presence when he was in his chemo treatments. And he could see Jesus in those endless oncologist visits. And he took the time to remind me. That God wasn't to blame for his illness or the side effects of his treatments or the fact that nobody found this cancer sooner. Instead, God was the source of his strength and his determination. Somehow, in between chemotherapy treatments and doctor's appointments, Mike found the energy and wherewithal to still help with much of the planning for the third pilgrimage. And even though he knew he wouldn't be able to do the actual walking, he was adamant that he would be there for the closing ceremony. And when we met him at Chimayo, this once vibrant man was so thin and so pale. His well-kept snow-white hair and beard were gone. And if it weren't for his wide smile and the sparkle in his eye, I probably wouldn't have recognized him. Mike died shortly after I moved to Pittsburgh, so I wasn't able to attend his funeral. But it just so happens that he grew up in Homewood. So they also planned a memorial out here for April of 2020. And you might be able to guess how that turned out. I wish I could have seen his family, and I wish I could have heard more stories, but I don't feel as though I missed saying goodbye to Mike. I know, just as he did, that Mike is with Jesus, and he will be resurrected. So Mike lived his life with the same hope that fueled his faithfulness. And just like Paul, it didn't matter how difficult or confusing or painful life could be. Make no mistake, life can be those things. His aim was still to walk by faith and not by sight because of the hope that he had found in Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, We Walk by Faith, Not by Sight. Before we go back out into the world, let me offer you this charge and blessing. God bless us. Jesus walk with us. Holy Spirit guide us as we enter this new week. And may the grace, hope, and peace and love of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer be with us all now and always. Amen.